Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
And tonight, we'll be talking about taming worry and anxiety. Some of y'all are turning red. I have no idea what that feels like. I've never turned red. Okay. Are you ready to go before the throne of grace? Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much that you love us so much that you won't allow us to stay the same. So tonight, Lord, give us a word from your word. We realize that every time we open up the Bible, we come face to face with you. So tonight, God, show us yourself. Cause us to say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, an eternal yes, in Jesus' name, that you may be able to be glorified in all that we say and do and think, in Jesus' name. Well, tonight I'm talking about taming worry because there's going to always be something that's going to cause us to be to worry or to be anxious. And I was reading today as I was in the hotel for a few minutes, and it said there was a stat that said 18% of the U.S. population experiences some kind of disorder with anxiety. Those are just the people that get treatment. They think the number is higher, that about 30% of people have some kind of anxiousness or some kind of anxiety. Now, if you understand that stat, you just count 1, 2, 3. All right, that's like every third person. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. You see what I'm saying? That's pretty prevalent. Now I have a little chuckle about that because my mom was an evangelist and a Bible-toting woman of God, and she would come to see me sometimes, and she'd have this big Bible. And I got a picture of her. She has this big Bible, and she would have the gun too. And I say, Mommy, why are you bringing the gun and the Bible? And she said, well, the gun is for people who don't understand the Bible. She was serious about that gun, and she was serious about that Bible. Well, tonight I just want to talk about standing on the word. Leave your gun at home. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Say for no thing. And then it goes on to say, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. See, I believe that sometimes we just need to stop and read the word so slowly and just let it get into us. Focus on every single word. So when I hear that, the peace of God, peace is such a rare commodity these days. People want peace of mind, but many times they're trying to get it the world's way. When Jesus clearly said, my peace I leave with you, not like the world gives it to you, but my peace. And I always say, God, I receive your peace. I just say that because I know that faith comes by hearing. And when I'm about to be feeling anxious, I'll just say, Lord, I receive your peace. Peace. What is anxiety? And I'm reviewing some things we went over this morning. Anxiety is simply anticipating a negative outcome. Anticipating a negative outcome. And let me tell you something. The extent that you experience anxiety has to do with the level of faith that you're walking in. It has to do with the beliefs that you have embraced. And I'm going to give you some examples. Because you see, life is a lot like a stool. And a stool has a base and four legs. And in our lives, we have beliefs that infiltrate and filter down and inform and dictate how we operate in these various areas of our lives, the four pillars of our lives, the emotional, the relational, the physical, and the financial. So everything I do in these areas are dictated by what I believe. Now, I have to tell you that the last 6 months have been the most anxiety-ridden months of my life. On December 27th, 2 days after Christmas, we were lying in bed. We normally go away for the Christmas holidays, but we didn't really go away this time. We just went away for Christmas Day. And our neighbor called And I won't give you too many details because it's just amazing how God protects you. But our neighbor called, and we don't normally answer the phone. I turned my phone off, but I had my tablet. I never have the tablet on, but I saw her name pop up, and it says my neighbor's name. And I said, oh, I better get that because she never calls. And she said, listen, I just saw a man jump over from my fence into your yard, and I'm just wondering, is that your gardener? Well, it was Tuesday, and the gardener did indeed come on Tuesdays, but it was 7:30 in the morning. The gardener didn't normally come until like noon. And I said, really? So I woke my husband up. I said, our neighbor just saw someone, jump over the fence. So we went from room to room upstairs looking, and we didn't see anybody. But when we got over to the side of the house where we have our bedroom on the west side of the house, we saw a guy at the sliding glass door just getting ready to break it. He had his little tools, and he was ready to break the window. And I couldn't see him, though. I was behind my husband. I just heard my husband yelling, get out of here, get out of here. And my husband was beating on something, and I thought that was the sound of two people fighting. It just scared me, so I have never been that scared in my whole life. And my husband said, get away from me, I'm going to get my gun. Well, we couldn't figure out how the guy got on the balcony, because you'd almost have to be a cat to get up there. I mean, this guy must have known, some kind of aerobic special aerobics or something, because you just couldn't get up there, okay? So we were like, what? And I think he must have known our house because all of our windows downstairs had the double pane things, that burglars don't like. But we hadn't had a chance to upgrade the ones upstairs. And he had tried all those downstairs and none of them he could work because my neighbor didn't call right away. She just said, I waited a minute. But at any rate, my husband ran and got the gun, cut the guy off and confronted him like this, had the gun right to his face and told him, you get away from here and don't ever come back. Well, in the meantime, I'm trying to call 911, but I am so scared. I'm dialing everything except 911. I dialed 914, 912, and 912 was an area code for a niece of mine. So when she picked the phone, I'm like, you are not 911. I said, hang up, I'm trying to call them. 911, somebody's breaking in the house. And she's like, don't be yelling at me, I'm just answering the phone, But that set off a period of anxiety that I can't begin to tell you. Almost embarrassed to tell you how anxious I was about that. 6 days later, I had foot surgery, which made me more anxious because now I'm thinking, if the burglar comes back or the would-be invader, then I can't even run. So now I'm more scared. And interestingly though, because everything works together for good. Now my husband has been trying to get me to move for 9 years. Soon as that happened, I'm like, can we move tomorrow? My brother brought me a gun, and I don't like guns. I've never held a gun. I just don't like guns. And I was telling Pastor Deborah about this, and I said, don't you not like guns? She said, girl, I was a cowboy. I know all about guns. Cowgirl. I know all about guns. I'm like, well, I was scared of the gun, but let me tell you how anxious I was. I actually would take that gun to the restroom with me in the middle of the night. Now, if I got up to use the restroom at 3 a.m, and we called my gun Grandma, I'd have to get Grandma and take her to the restroom with me. And I knew that I was out of control, that my faith was not working. And I just began to say, okay, Lord, what's going on here? So I realized that my stool was not looking like the one you're seeing on your screen, that it has a balanced stool where the beliefs are intact and it's solid and every area is working. I was looking more like the stool that you'll see now that's askew. My belief in that area was not intact, and that's why my life was kind of looking, as it relates to my personal safety, it was looking skewed. And I just said, God, you got to help me. You just got to help me. And as I talk tonight about dealing with anxiety, see, each one of these aspects of our lives can create its own. It has its own types of anxieties. If you look at the emotional leg, sometimes you can be so afraid of something. For instance, my mother died a few years ago. She had dementia. And every time I keep forgetting something, I'm thinking, the enemy says, you probably gonna have dementia like your mother. Yeah, that's real. Anybody relating to that? But I've learned how to talk back because, see, sometimes you have these erroneous beliefs and you got to say, I will not. I have the mind of Christ. Now, my mother was the type of person who wouldn't say anything. She would let people just kind of beat up on her and walk on her. And if you keep pushing down your anger and your resentment, it actually changes the chemistry in your brain. Did you know that? That's why I wrote this book called Confronting Without Offending. I will not go crazy because I didn't say something to people. I will confront those conflicts that I need to confront. And I'm thinking, but I'm not like my mother. I don't deal with problems the way she dealt with problems. I loved her, but I don't deal with problems the way she dealt with problems. And I'm thinking, I don't do any of the things that she does, you know, or that she did. And so besides that, I just believe that I let my request be made known to God. He said, be anxious for nothing. Well, it's not my desire. I want my right mind my whole life. And I'm just believing God. How many of you believe in God for your right mind your whole life? All right, I'm believing God for my right mind for my whole life. Some of you have these financial fears, fear that you will outlive your retirement fund. Anybody, am I relating to anybody? You said, well, I don't know. You know what? Because we got to stop and ask yourself, what am I believing? There's an erroneous belief behind every anxiety, I believe. There's an erroneous belief. You need to write that down. Behind every anxiety, there is an erroneous belief. Because believing is behaving. And I'm going to say it both ways. Behaving is believing. Behaving is believing. Whatever way you're behaving, it's because of what you're believing. And how do these beliefs get going anyway? Sometimes you have a negative experience, and it will cause you to form a belief about a situation. And after that, then you begin to behave a certain way. Now, this works positively and negatively. For instance, when I was growing up in Texas, it was not dark-skinned girls didn't get any advantages. And I don't mean just blacks, but, you know, if you were dark-skinned and black, you didn't get any advantages. Now, I could grow up believing that dark-skinned girls are not beautiful. And for a long time, I believed that. So I tried to be really smart since I wasn't beautiful. I said, I better be really smart. So I could say, I don't know, anybody lighter than me that's smarter than me. You know, that made no sense, but we have beliefs. I'm just going to be real honest with you. We have beliefs, okay? But it also works in a positive way. Because when you begin to experience the Word of God, and you may even not have the experience yourself, but when you read the Bible and read the stories of how God showed himself strong, it begins to affect your beliefs. And I'm going to share a couple of stories tonight with you that I read from the Bible, and I want to walk you through them. And the big thing I notice in these stories is the absence of anxiety in the characters that we'll look at. And so the first one I want to turn to is in Genesis 22. Now, I need you to get your Bibles out. Don't just be looking at me. Let's just get those Bibles out. Genesis 22. It's the story of when God asked Abraham to offer Isaac for us as a burnt offering. Now, interestingly, God had made Abraham this promise when he was 75 years old that I'm going to give you a son. But the promise didn't come to fruition until he was 100. This man had waited 25 years for this son of promise. And then as soon as he gets big enough to talk or whatever, we don't know exactly how old he was, but we know from the story that he was old enough to talk. God tells Abraham, now I want you to sacrifice him as a burnt offering. And in Genesis 22 and 2, it says, this is what God said. Now take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. In verse 3, I love this because notice there's no anxiety here. So Abraham rose early in the morning. Everybody say early. Early. Now, see, I was impressed right there. If I have to do something that distasteful, I mean, that would have been the day I overslept. He arose early in the morning, ready to obey God. He saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering. He rose. He went to the place where God had told him. And in verse 4, it says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. This man has to walk 3 days with this burden that he's going to have to sacrifice his son. But this is the part that just blows me away. Verse 5, and Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I, meaning the boy, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. How awesome is that, folks? Where does he get that kind of confidence? Because he believes God. He said, well, we'll be back. You know, he knows he's going up, or he thinks he's going up to offer his son to be burnt. And yet he says, we'll be back. That's amazing. That's amazing. And guess what? They came back. They came back. Because when it got to the top of the mountain and he put the son on the altar, the son says, like, look, I see the wood, and I don't see a lamb. I'm amazed at the obedience of the son as well. I mean, I've been jumping off that altar and running. You're going to strap me down? But you know, that's the problem with us living sacrifices. We jump up off the altar. And we run away and we don't let God do what he's trying to do. I'm just saying. So they came back. The question is, what am I believing? Think about the thing you're most anxious about today. What are you believing? That's what you got to ask yourself when anxiety rears its head. What am I believing? And is it consistent with the word of God? Suppose you're saying, I can't go back to school because I'm not smart enough, or you have to have math for that class, and I've never been good in math. What are you believing? What are you believing? See, some of us, we create scenarios. We're worse than a Hollywood scriptwriter. We can create a scenario, and this will probably happen, and then that'll probably happen, you know, and I'm going to gain a bunch of weight, and my husband's going to leave me, and then I'm going to be on the street, and I'm going to be like, hey, quit, stop the movie. Quit writing that script. You hear me? Some of you need to fire yourself from script writing. God has already written the script for your life. He's already written the script. And in Psalms 139 and 16, I believe it is, it says that all the days ordained for me were written in his book before one of them came to be. So you got to halt that kind of thinking. And so when I had this issue with the house and me being so afraid of being in that house, the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, I need you to get a verse and a visual. Come on, say that. A verse and a visual. So here's what I did. I got a verse and a visual. I took a picture of my house, and I went online, and I said, I'm going to find a picture of a warring angel, and I'm going to click it 100 times or whatever until I can have enough to cover this house. And that's the visual that I'm going to have. When I think of going home, because I was afraid to come home, my husband had to be standing out there at the gate. I'm coming home. Be at the gate. Keep in mind, the house was gated with an electronic gate, but now you got to be standing there, too, with the gun, just in case. So I got a vision for it, and I think that's a good thing to do. Begin to get a vision. Whatever it is you're anxious about, get a vision of the opposite. Get a vision of God showing himself strong. You got to see yourself in school, see yourself just doing whatever it is you want to do. Listen, there's power to the imagination. That's why God gave it to us. We need to imagine. We need to imagine so we can come outside of the realm of where we really are. And so the second story I want to share with you then is that is the one about Daniel, because this story has ministered to me, and you know the story in Daniel 2, and I want you to turn to that, because there's a whole passage here that I have just learned that is a critical part of my life. But you know the story of when the king had a dream and he couldn't remember what the dream was, and he sent out an edict and said, I need all my wise men to tell me what I dreamed and what it meant. Now that's a crazy mandate. But I like the story because it has so many applications. Well, first of all, Daniel and his friends were among the wise men. Now Daniel had the gift of interpreting dreams. What did I say he had a gift of? Interpreting dreams that you told him. If you told him your dream, he could interpret it. But Daniel didn't have the gift of telling you what you dream. He couldn't just tell you, oh, last night you dreamed this and this is what it was. Because sometimes there would be a demand on you that's beyond your gifting. And the king in verse, I believe it's verse 13 and 2 and 13. I'm not sure. I think I wrote it down, but I left it home. But at any rate, he sent out an edict and said, okay, we're going to kill everybody. But in verse 16, in 2:16, Daniel comes in to the king himself without anxiety, even though they are looking for Daniel and his friends to kill them too, because they're going to kill everybody who couldn't interpret the dream. Daniel comes in knowing that a mandate has already been put out for him to be killed. And he goes before the king and he says, if you give me some time, don't miss this. If you give me some time, I'll come back with the answer. How confident is that? What is the confidence in? Time, what does he mean by some time? What did he need time to do? Pray. Now the king had just told everybody, you're not getting any more time. Y'all just trying to buy time. Daniel comes in and he says, if you give me some time, I will come back and tell you what you dreamed and what it meant. And the Bible says that God revealed it to Daniel. Oh, I love this. In Daniel 2:20. Is anybody in here in school or anything where you got to use your mind? Raise your hand if you are. Okay, you need to learn this. Daniel 2:20 through 23. This will get you there. All right? Daniel, when God revealed the dream, Daniel comes out of his prayer closet. And he says, blessed be the name of God forever and forever. For wisdom and might are his. I like that. He goes on to say some other things. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness. The light dwells with him. Oh, that's some good stuff. But in verse 23, he says, I thank you and praise you, O God, that you have given me wisdom and might, and you have made known to me now. the thing that I desired. See, sometimes God will give you now faith. I had a situation when I was CFO at a church. We were building a $66 million cathedral. It was a very difficult financing, the terms. And one day we had to meet with the bankers, and they were bringing in their big guns. And there was something called a swap agreement that I didn't have any experience in. I knew about the other parts because I had been I have an MBA in finance. So I knew that part, but I didn't know about this swap agreement. I was just ignorant about it. And we're sitting in the meeting, and I'm thinking, now, God, I need a Daniel experience. I need you to reveal to me now the thing. God ain't saying nothing. We're in the meeting. I'm like, God, can you just give me some clarity or let me just make a statement that's profound so they can think I'm smart? Let me just say something like ooh, that's good. Nothing. So now I'm negotiating with God. Okay, can you just give me a question to ask so I can just ask a smart question? If you just give me a smart question. And then he showed up. He gave me a smart question. And it was so funny. I laugh about this to this day because they have no idea how I didn't know what I was doing for that particular aspect of that transaction. I asked the question, and the guy said, oh, you're ahead of us. I'm like, missed him. And we were on a track. I'm so far behind you, you'd run into the back of me, okay? I'm not ahead of you, but I didn't tell him that. And his assistant said, I told you, she's brilliant. That's what I like about God. He will give you stuff on the spot. Let me tell you, I've had experience after experience after experience like that, where God would just tell you what you need to know when you need to know it. That's why we just got to begin to act with faith on that. We have to just rest in that. You see, we have to rest in that just the way we did tonight when we came in and sat down on the seat. I didn't see one person test their seat. Everybody just came in and plop down. I didn't see anybody do this and go, okay, it got me. Okay, I've been breathing, put my whole weight on. Everybody just plop down. You just rested because you had faith in the manufacturer of those seats. God said, that's what I want from you. I want you to rest on the word of God. I want you to just rest on it. I just want you to just sit on it. I just want you to say, okay, God, I'm depending on you. That's what I'm going to do. That's what God is requiring for us to do. Because let me tell you something. Our faith is the bridge between this peace and anxiety. Anxiety, peace. How do you get from anxiety to peace? Faith. And this is what we got to understand. You can't let the facts hijack your faith. Do you hear me? Do not let facts hijack your faith. Facts are not final. Facts are not final. Say that with me. Facts are not final. I love what it said about Abraham in Romans. It says Abraham wasn't deterred by the fact that his body was near dead, his reproductive organs, and Sarah's was as well. It said, but he was strong in faith. I believe we need to just turn on over there and read that for a minute. I think it's Philippians 4 and 9. Where is it? I think it's Philippians 4 and 19. Romans 4 and 19. Can you put that up? But let's just read a piece of that. Oh, it's in my Bible. No. I'll tell you where it is, because this is so important. Romans 4:19. How many of you looking? Do you bring your Bible to church? Okay. I had it marked, but my little marker fell out. Okay, here it is. Romans 4:19. And not being weak in faith, talking about Abraham, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. What is he ignoring here? The facts. Get this, because facts will mess you up. Okay, facts will mess you up. Facts are not your reality. Or the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. See, I'm challenging you tonight. Examine your beliefs. It said he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced. I like in the King James, it says being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he would do it. How many of you want to be there in your faith, being fully persuaded that whatever God has promised, that's what he's going to do? So we don't want to let facts sabotage our faith. Listen, we got to learn how to declare the word. Get some warfare scriptures under your belt. You don't need to have to be trying to look them up when it's time. Sometimes you just got to get a repertoire, an arsenal of scriptures that you say, these are my scriptures. I have scriptures that I use for my finances. My God shall supply all my need. Always. He shall do that. See, in 1 Peter 5:7, it says, we have to cast all our cares upon him, for he careth. I deliberately use the King James version of this for this scripture. He careth. Anytime you see a verb in the King James version that ends with E-T-H, it means all the time. So you say the word, then you say all the time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth all the time for you. He never stops caring for you. So you got to stop expecting a negative outcome, because God careth for you. Are you getting this tonight? You see, you got to begin to know how to declare your freedom. You got to declare your freedom from anxiety. Don't tolerate anxiety. Some of you, maybe, you know, there may be a person or two who has a chemical imbalance, but most people who are anxious because they have erroneous beliefs. They're just not believing God. And you got to ask yourself, what am I believing about God? What am I believing about God? What is this saying? What am I saying about God while I'm being anxious? Listen, I used to be so afraid of flying, I would just grab whoever was sitting next to me and I'd squeeze their hand till we got airborne. And I don't care, and this was way back 30 years ago, you know, when racism was really bad. But we took off once, and I had this guy. He was so starchy, and he didn't look like me. And we was time to take off, and I said, sir, I got to hold your hand so we get airborne, so just bear with me. And when we got airborne, I said, thank you so much. What was I believing about God? That his angels couldn't take care of that plane and keep me in all my ways. And so I've just decided I'm not going to be scared anymore. So I went to South Africa. It's a 23-hour flight. And I said, Lord, that's too long to be scared. I'm done. I'm not going to be scared anymore. I'm done being scared, all right? I'm just done being scared. And every time the plane would have any kind of movement, because I wanted it to have absolutely none, but I just say, God, I just want to thank you that your angels have already been given responsibility to take this plane from Los Angeles to where it comes back from. Because that's what you got to do when you're trying to walk in faith, people. And sometimes you got to claim your freedom by singing. Oh, listen, when I'm anxious, or when I'm trying to be anxious, or the enemy's trying to make me be anxious, I got a little song I sing, and it doesn't matter how it sounds, because I'm singing it unto the Lord. But there's a song that says, I still have joy. I still have joy. Of all the things I've been through, I still have joy. And I just keep changing the word. I still have peace. Oh, I like saying that one, because I'm just declaring it. I'm not feeling it. You see, listen, emotions follow behavior. You need to just start saying stuff, acting things, doing things. Emotions follow behavior. I'm not going to be anxious. The peace is going to follow my behavior. I still have peace. I still have peace. Of all the things I've been through, I still have peace. I still love God. Oh, I just carry it on. I still love God. Finish that part. I still have faith. I make up my own self words. I still have faith. You understand what I mean? That's what you got to do when you're trying to walk in peace. And that's what I want to say to you tonight. I want to teach you how to do that. I want to teach you how to walk in peace. I want you to teach you how to declare the word of God. I dare each of you to get each leg of that stool and say, okay, I'm going to get my arsenal of scriptures together for my emotional leg. I'm going to get my arsenal of scriptures ready for my financial leg, for my relational leg. Listen, I don't care what it is. You can't be anxious about things. And you just can't let the enemy run rampant like that in your life. You got to stop it at the... What did Pastor Jessica say? Hell. We're speaking of hell. No, you will not take my peace. Hell, you would not take my peace. You would not take my peace. You would not take my peace. You need to say that. That needs to be your war cry. I still have peace. I don't care what happened. I still have peace. I still have joy. I still have faith. I still see God. Somebody called me this morning. She said, listen, I'm just so depressed. My career hasn't gone the way it's supposed to go. And I just feel like giving up. What does that mean exactly? What do you do when you give up? What then? What do you do? You're going to do something. So just keep on trying. You don't need to talk about giving up. You don't need to talk about giving up. You need to hear yourself saying, I'm a conqueror. I say, listen, whatever state I'm in at any point in my life, I say, this is where I'm supposed to be right now. If I'm dissatisfied with it, then I'm just supposed to ask God, what's next? I don't ever believe I'm in the wrong place. I'm not in the wrong place. I'm not in the wrong place. I may not be where somebody else thinks I ought to be. I may not be where I think I ought to be because I'm comparing myself to somebody else who's doing that. That's worldly thinking. That's erroneous beliefs. It's time to examine your beliefs. It's time to examine your beliefs and say, is this consistent with the word of God? Didn't God say all the days ordained for me were already written in his book? That means wherever I am today, it's already written. So where do you want me to go tomorrow, Lord? Get excited about tomorrow. Get excited about tomorrow. Don't you dare tolerate anxiety. Don't you tolerate depression. Don't you tolerate anything that's not consistent with the word of God. Let's give God a praise in here this morning. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we come against every work of Satan. I'm so mad at the devil. We need to just stay mad at the devil. We need to declare war on the devil. Don't give him any place. Don't give him any place in your words, your actions, your responses. You say, I am not tolerating that. I am just not tolerating that. And I have decided I'm not going to tolerate anxiety. I was supposed to spend the night here tonight. And I said, because I don't want to be on the freeway at night by myself. You know what? I said, how are you going to get up there and teach that? Then you're going to spend the night because you're scared. So you know what I did? I checked out when I left the hotel. I'm going home tonight. Because sometimes you just got to put feet to your faith. And it's amazing because the devil is just one big bully. One big bully. We have a covenant with God. That's why I like so much that story of David and Goliath. When David came down when they were fighting and he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Oh, I like that. What does that mean? Circumcision was a sign of the covenant that God had with his people. David said, oh, I'll fight the giant. Who does he think he is? He's uncircumcised. He doesn't have a covenant with God. He doesn't have a covenant. We have a covenant with God. He said, oh, he might be big, but he ain't been circumcised. He has not been circumcised. I got something he ain't got. Okay, I'm trying to keep it spiritual. But in this case, size didn't matter. He said, I'll fight him. And the Bible says he ran towards the giant. I'm going to challenge you tonight to run towards your giants. Run towards your giants. You have a covenant with God. You have a covenant with God. You can run towards your giant. Every giant in your life, you just keep running towards it. Because you have a covenant. And nobody can thwart God's plan for your life. That's why, oh, that just makes me bold. Isaiah 14:27. Isaiah 14:27. It's one of my hallmark scriptures. It says, behold, the Lord has purpose. Who can thwart him? Who means that? Listen, when I meditate the scripture, I do every word. And when I got to that who, I said, what does who mean? It means what person? Name somebody. Behold, the Lord has purpose. Who can thwart him? Don't you dare say somebody, if you had had favor with him, you could be this place in your career. No, you wouldn't. You're just where God wants you to be. And if you're not, and if that's not the place you want to be, you say, okay, God, what's next? I want to trust you for the next step. How many of you are going to do that tonight? Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every woman who has assembled into this place. You love us so much. You love us so much that you will call us here tonight to hear this word, God, that will challenge us to examine our beliefs. And so, God, we just come with every belief that's in our head, in our heart. God, look at it. Shine the light on it. Search us, oh God. Know our ways. Reveal the beliefs that are erroneous, that are limiting, God, that are limiting us from the destiny that you have assigned us to. We're ready to go to the next step. We know that if we hadn't been in this place right now, in this place in our lives, we wouldn't be asking you for the next step. So God, reveal it to us. What do you want us to start doing? What do you want us to stop doing? What do we need to do? Do we need to know more? Do we need to connect with somebody else? Show us, oh Lord. We acknowledge you in all our ways that you might direct our paths. And if that's you tonight, you've kind of been slowed down with a little anxiety about going forward in different aspects of your life, I just want you to stand up and I want to pray for you tonight. Those of you who feel like, listen, I want to stand up and I just want to decide right now in the name of Jesus that I'm going to seek God's will for my life and I'm going to be at peace. I'm going to have that peace that surpasses understanding. Jesus gave it to me. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's produced in me and I'm ready to let that fruit be manifested in my life. I will not have dormant fruit in my life. The fruit of peace is coming forth right now in me, in the name of Jesus. Many of you were here this morning, and we prayed this prayer, but if you were not here this morning and you'd like to be prayed for, I ask that you go this row, line up on this side, and this row, line up on that side, and we'll direct you. But if you weren't here this morning, you've already not had me lay hands on you, and I just want you to come expecting. You don't have to come again if you were here this morning, but we just believe God that He wants to do something very, very special in your life today. He wants to do something very special in your life. And while you're coming, if you have not believed that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died and rose again for your sins, I want you to come on with everybody else. Just come on down. Just come on down. Because if we don't have right beliefs, we can't even be saved. We can't even be saved. We can't even be saved. Now, I want you to come just expecting God, not expecting me, because we got to raise our expectation of God. Raise our expectations of God in the name of Jesus. I'm just going to stand right here, and I'm just going to ask that when I say go, we're just going to pass by it. I just want to lay hands on you just like that. That's it. I just want you to, it's just a point of contact to release your faith, to go to the next level. All right? I'm not going to pray for you or prophesy to you unless God tells me to, but I just want you to have this point of contact so you can begin to believe right now that you're not going to tolerate anxiety anymore. You're going to catch yourself. You're going to catch yourself engaging in that erroneous belief. And you're going to say, I believe God. The Word says. And God's going to give you a hunger and a passion for His Word. And you're not going to be able to rest not reading His Word. You're not going to be able to rest with prayerlessness. I'm praying that right now that God will trouble all of us in our hearts. Any of us who have resorted to prayerlessness, any of us who have resorted to just not reading the Word or occasionally reading the Word, I'm asking God right now to renew our passion, rekindle our passion. So while we're here and we're standing in His presence, let's just raise our hands. Father, we do thank You. So good to be in Your presence. Thank You for meeting us here. Thank You for Your Word. We know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God. Oh my. Lord, help us to know that when we open the Bible, we really do come face to face with You and all Your truth and all Your wisdom. And we want to embrace that and let it affect our lives. We want to be the light that so shines that people will look at us and want what we have, and that would be You. We just want You. More of You, oh Lord. More of You. Continue to increase our hunger and thirst for righteousness and for You and for Your presence. Oh God, thank You for this opportunity to come into this place and to be reminded that that's what You want from us. And as we do that, God, we know that as we obey You, You have promised to surround us with favor like a shield. We receive that favor tonight in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to start over here, and I just want this row here to just come by, and I just want, okay, you direct them out. And I just want to just put my hands on you. When I do, just go straight on back to your seat. You can come this way. Yeah, we can just come this way. I don't know how you're going to. Pastor Jess, come help me. Okay. Are you being here to be prayed for? Okay. And you can just go back right on out. Father God, in the name. Listen, just keep believing God. Keep looking up. Believe in God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just go back to your seat as I touch you. Believe that you receive. The minute I touch you, just believe that you receive in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. Receive the peace of God. Receive the peace of God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Okay, got it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank You. We thank You. We thank You. We thank You. And when I touch you, you maybe go back to your seat in the name of Jesus. Just receive this point of contact and just say, God, I receive. No more anxiety. No more limiting thoughts. No more vain imaginations. No more bad script writing for my life. I just believe that God has already written the script for my life, and I receive it now in the name of Jesus. 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 We receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Go away joyful. You don't have to be burdened when God has already done something for you. Just go away rejoicing. Remember that feelings follow behavior. Just start rejoicing in the name of Jesus. 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 Just as I touch you, just go back. Receive, 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 receive now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's do this quickly. In the name of Jesus. Come on. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name, in the name, in the name. Receive, receive in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank You. And I just pronounce a blessing on every aspect of our lives, every pillar that we talked about, that every need is met emotionally, physically, relationally, and financially. Go away from here, believe in that. Don't tolerate anxiety in your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.